Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Thursday, November 9th. I'm Ray Graff. Well, King Crimson was at the Egg in Albany last night, and what a show it was. They are back again tonight at the Egg, and we're very lucky to have Tony Levin here, the legendary bass player and composer. He's in the studio to answer your questions. You can ask about King Crimson or Peter Gabriel or whatever you want to ask Peter, or I should say Tony Levin. Peter's not here. He was here last time. Our number is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. You can also email the program voxpop@wamc.org. But the number is 800-348-2551. Tony Levin is here. Your call's coming up on Vox Pop right after the news. Hello, welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. Always great when bassist and composer Tony Levin stops by. He is here today. He's best known for his work with King Crimson and Peter Gabriel. He grew up trained in classical music, has played on over 500 albums, including those of Cher, Alice Cooper, and John Lennon. Tonight, he is doing show number 2 at the Egg in Albany with King Crimson. Last night was phenomenal. I am sure tonight will be the same. Tony, welcome back to the show.
Thank you. Always great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Did you notice that the music coming in?
I couldn't help but notice it. I had the phones up a little loud. It blew my head off.
Yeah, me too. Our number here is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. Or you can email the program voxpop@wamc.org if you have a question for Tony Levin. Well, the show, by my standards, as an audience member, was off the charts last night. I've seen Crimson many times.
Hopefully, thank you if that's a good off the charts.
Oh, it was great. It was great.
If it's a bad off the charts, that's okay.
No, really good.
Just kidding.
Okay, but my question for you is, it's so easy for us in the audience to say, well, this was the greatest thing. You guys, I mean, to you, it's art. It's also a business. You do it. It's a grind. You do it every day. What makes a great show for you? And is the subjective of the audience, the reaction, is it any way related to the way you guys feel about your performance?
Well, usually it's the same.
Yeah.
I can't tell how the audience feels every night, but usually if the audience really thinks it's really special, usually the band does too. And the thing you said about it being a business and a grind, it isn't really that way. I guess it is a business in a way. But
well, you do a lot of shows.
We do a lot of shows.
So it's a big tour.
Yeah, for me, I'll speak for myself. It's what I love to do and what I've been doing my whole adult life, and I get to do a lot of it, so that's good. Yeah, the travel can be a grind, but that's not a problem. The shows are very special. I think one thing that audiences maybe don't realize is those shows that you come to once in a great while, that's like, wow, that's one of the most special shows I ever saw. Well, it's the same for a band. I don't know why. We're the same musicians every night in King Crimson and in other bands I've done. And yet somehow the chemistry with the audience, I really think the audience is part of it, and the venue, and maybe just the chemistry and something that we don't understand. It makes some shows extraordinarily special. And like the audience, we remember them for our whole lives.
What was the greatest show of any band or any act that you have been involved in?
I'm not a guy that ranks things, and I don't really spend my time looking back. We were talking about King Crimson, so many fans have mentioned to me the shows on the pier in New York City
in
84. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I agree. I remember kind of every minute of the show, and I don't know why. I've done the same show many times.
You know, it's funny. You hooked up with Crimson around 1980 or so, and there was all this back catalog prior to you joining. And my memory's pretty bad, but I don't remember you guys doing a lot of that in the 80s.
King Crimson steadfastly refused to do almost any catalog stuff of the old King Crimson, and that's very Robert Fripp. Robert's the founder of the band and the leader of the band, and he's always challenging the audiences, or we as a band are always challenging the audiences in addition to challenging ourselves, I must say, as musicians and as a band, and then somehow this last couple of years with this incarnation, we've fallen into doing a whole lot of the catalog. So as you can imagine, the old-time fans are thrilled about that, I hope.
And how did you go about acquainting yourself with all this material you really didn't have anything to do with back in the late 60s, early 70s?
Yes, for me, it's one of the challenges of the band, because it's not hard to play this stuff, but I don't really, this is not a cover band, so I don't really want to play the part exactly the way it was, but many of those old bass parts are fantastic. So I'm constantly engaged, even however many times I play a song, I'm engaged with trying to keep what's very special about that bass part, but also have it be myself and put in my own, maybe my own sound or an instrument that gives it my own flavor. I don't have to make it mine, but I have to make it grow. And also, Robert has suggested from the beginning, when we look at this material from the back catalog, we're to look at it as if it were new material, as if it was just written, so I do not have to at all play any of the old bass parts.
Tony Levin is our guest today. King Crimson at the Egg tonight. Our number is 800-348-2551. It's been about 3 years now since this new incarnation of Crimson. In fact, was Albany your first stop in 14?
It might have been. Yeah, it would have been. And we did extra time here. We rehearsed here, and we did what we call a friends and family warm-up show. We were pretty conscientious about trying to be sure at the beginning of each tour that we're up and running. We don't have warm-up shows that are less than our full effort.
You do seem to be a well-oiled machine as of right now. What has changed, or how has it grown in the last 3 years?
We've added a whole lot of more material. So now I don't know how much material we have. We also do a longer show. We do a three-hour show, as you know. You came last night.
Yep.
And we can swap out a whole lot of pieces. So we have an increasingly large body of material we can choose from, and that's fun.
Robert does the set list?
He does it pretty much. There's no rule about it, but I think he does it at breakfast every morning, and we usually get an email at about noon or 1 o'clock, and then we can veto if there's something about the connection between songs that's particularly difficult. For instance, for instrument change for me, then I can say, "Hey, let's not do that."
Speaking of instrument changes, you and Mel Collins, my son and I were trying to count how many instrument changes. I mean, in song, two or three times a pop. You go from...
Well, he does within songs. But, for me, it's not within a song. It could be within a suite.
Okay.
And let me say that the band, you were there at the start, so you know, but people who don't come, there's no talking between songs. There's almost no time between songs. So if one song I'm playing the Chapman stick, and then the next one I begin on the bass, I have to do that very, very quickly. In fact, maybe miss the last note of one piece.
You did a really nice solo on the stand-up. And what is that electric stand-up?
It's made by Ned Steinberger. It's called NS Electric Upright, and it sounds very much like a real upright and wonderful. And that piece, it's not quite a piece, Robert, just one day, I think a week or two ago, it just said
cadenza. The dream?
We do it after a piece, but it's nothing to do with it. It just said Tony plays a cadenza, so it's whatever I want to play.
That's nice.
And some nights I do it on a bow. Some nights I do it on the upright because that's what I had played the piece before on.
Our guest is Tony Levin, and the lines are loading up, so let's take a couple of calls before our first break. 800-348-2551, the telephone number. We go to Paul and Shokan. Paul, you're on.
Yeah, great. I could ask a lot of questions, but one thing that's on my mind, I'm wondering how you and the other musicians that you play with just stay in shape physically on the road and just in your life as a musician. Is there anything in particular that you found really helpful, whether it's some, yoga or anything else that you've just found is really useful to you?
Well, that's a good question, Paul. I wish I were an expert. I'm always reluctant to give advice. Just because I'm being interviewed doesn't mean I'm an expert at it. Myself, I keep fairly trim. I'm a vegetarian. I try to exercise a lot, but I think each guy in the band has his own thing, and certainly as our age goes up, we do struggle with that, because it's not the playing the shows, it's the traveling that can wear you out and make it a tough thing to stay healthy. We do our best.
Sure. Okay.
Great question. I'm sorry I don't have a better answer.
Thanks, Paul. That's interesting, though. The shows would seem to be fairly strenuous, but it's the actual road that takes more out of you?
Sure. Well, King Crimson shows are not physically strenuous. They are for the drummers.
I would say, they certainly work.
I stand still. Compared to a Peter Gabriel show where I'm literally running and skipping around the stage and I'm exhausted at the end, this is physically easy. Mentally, it's quite a challenge.
That's frankly what I would say, the mental aspect of this. Now, how did you learn all these old charts? Were they charted? Did somebody actually give you a transcript? transcription and say, here you go?
No, we learn them in whatever way each of us has. For myself, I can write it out because I can read music, but then the challenge is to get away from the music and memorize it. It's a challenge to memorize it. But that challenge was years back in rehearsals. The challenge now is just to remember it all and play it correctly. It's very complex music for people who haven't heard it. Very complex, and we're not all necessarily in the same time signature. So if somebody screws up, if anyone screws up in the band, it becomes quite an effort. No one can go 1, 2, 3, 4, here we are. It's more complicated than that. So it becomes a fun challenge, and we do have our nights when there are multiple mistakes which spawn other mistakes, and we kind of laugh about that.
You know, Mel Collins, in a written interview, I think maybe in Philly recently, mentioned even the mistakes have this certain quality where it takes you to another place.
Yeah, Mel Collins, by the way, is the flute and sax player in the band, and he goes for it. I love players who go for it, and I try to be that way myself. So I'm not a guy that always plays the right note. Hopefully most of my notes are right, but sometimes my priority is going for something special on that piece that night, and if it involves some things that aren't perfect, that's okay.
Tony Levin is our guest. King Crimson tonight, show number 2 at the Egg, 800-348-2551, the number, and we'll be right back.
Support comes from 9-10 Cider Albany, hard cider made from local apples. Tasting Room features New York cider, beer, wine, spirits, Tuesday through Sunday. Now available in Massachusetts and Connecticut. 9pincider.com. Identity Eyewear, Albany, New York. Specializing in distinctive eyewear, including Zenka from Paris and Coco Song from Italy. Eye exams by appointment, EYEDENTITY, eyewearalbany.com. Daughters of Sarah, Albany, New York. Featuring assisted living and respite care at the Masry Residence, Friends, Family, Community. 518-689-0453 for tickets and information. Ashfield Stone, Shelburne Falls, Massachusetts. Quarriers and fabricators used for enduring landscapes and interiors, including countertops and floor planking. Rare and wonderful native stone of the Berkshires. AshfieldStone.com. And from Interim Healthcare for 46 years, offering in-home assisted living for individuals, companions, aides, and nurses, serving the Greater Capital Region, Columbia, and Saratoga counties, as well as Glens Falls. InterimHealthcare.com.
Vox Pop on WAMC. Ray Graff here, joined today by the great Tony Levin, King Crimson at the Egg tonight. You were on over 500 albums, including Cher. What do you remember about those Cher sessions?
I remember that she wasn't there.
Ah.
I did it in Woodstock at the old Bearsville Theater. I missed that. Sorry, Bearsville Studios. I missed that studio. Mm. I didn't know I had done 500 albums. I've been lucky to do a lot of them. And not all albums are 2 week, 3 week, 1 month affairs. That was probably a day or two.
Yeah. Did you ever actually hear it?
Oh, I never listened to it. No, I met her later. I was recording with Richie Sambora in Los Angeles, and she came by, and we chatted a minute.
Tony Levin is our guest. A couple of emails here, Tony, and then we'll get back to the phones. This one is from William. Please talk about your classical music background. Do you get to perform classical music in the interstices of your schedule? How does it influence your playing?
When's the last time you heard interstices?
It's the first time I've seen it, actually.
On air. Well, I can't beat that kind of language.
All right.
Yes, I grew up as a classical player. I won't go on about it, but I went to Eastman School of Music in Rochester, New York, and I played in the Rochester Philharmonic. And luckily, at a young age, even though that's still my favorite music to listen to, at a young age, relatively young age, I decided to change. I had arrived at playing in orchestras, and it wasn't what I thought it would be, and I played jazz and then rock and found myself most at home in rock. And I cannot go back and play classical music. I don't have the chops anymore for that. I even don't have a real acoustic bass anymore.
This one came in from Jim in Montgomery. I saw Stickmen a few years back at Bearsville Theater, and it was great. Will you guys be touring again in the future?
Stickmen tours all the time. Stickmen is a trio named because I play this instrument called the Chapman Stick, and Marcus Reuter, also a German member of the band, plays touch guitar. And Pat Mastelotto, one of the drummers in King Crimson, is our third member. And we like being kind of lean and mean. We, with three guys, we can travel a lot more than a bigger band might and play clubs. And we're always touring. I think our next show will be in February on the Cruise to the Edge, a prog rock cruise out of Tampa, Florida.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Well, that's
and we'll book some more shows after that. Probably not in this area, I'm afraid.
All right, one more email and then back to the phones, Tony. This one came in from Chris. Great Crimson concert last night at the Egg. Bass playing was great. Entire percussion section is exciting. A couple of questions, and Chris gave me about 17 questions. So we'll just pick one. Please share a story of an unexpected surprise musical experience that you really enjoyed.
Oh golly, that's a great question, Chris. I'm not really. I haven't had enough coffee to. In all these years, there. It's hard to find a single story. A lot of surprises. King Crimson is surprising me all the time. When I tour with Peter Gabriel, he's full of surprises on stage, and can come over and do rude things with me on stage and surprise me. Sorry that no particular stories come to mind.
Well, think about it during the course of the show.
Or as soon as we're off air, they'll all come to mind.
There you go. Let's go over to Sony in Selkirk, or is it Tony?
It's Sony, S-O-N-Y. It's short for Sonia.
Hi, you're on.
Hi. What a pleasure. What a treat. Thank you. Quick question. In 1989, I went to a concert out in Ottawa, Canada, and it was during Anderson Burper Wakeman's House Yes Tour. Actually, it was a Music Plus tour. And I could have swore that Tony Levin did a cameo appearance with, I think, Bill Bruford that day. It was like August, I think, of 1989.
Sure. Yeah.
Do you remember that?
I do. I don't remember the exact show, but I certainly remember touring with Anderson, Bruford, Wakeman & Howe, kind of an offshoot of Yes, and I was honored to be the bass player asked to do that and to play a lot of Chris Squire's fantastic historic bass parts and to try to inject a little of myself, as I still do, into the music. I didn't remember that particular show, but thanks for remembering it.
I'll never forget because I ended up doing my college thesis on Yes.
Really?
So,
wow.
Big fan of them. So, yeah, but that was a real treat. And my second question for you is, actually, you had mentioned you need a photographer, videographer, so I might be able to accommodate you, because that's what I do. I'm a filmmaker. So if you ever need a shooter, that's okay.
Well, thank you, and good luck with that. That's not an easy field, I'll bet, but getting going in it is really, really important, and good for you for hustling and trying to get going.
Well, Sony, thanks for the call. Our number here is 800-348-2551. Tony Levin is our guest. Crimson tonight at the Egg in Albany. Michael and Troy. Michael, you're on.
Hi there, Tony.
Hi, Michael.
This is a real treat. My name is Michael Oatman, and I'm a visual artist and also a longtime friend of Ray's.
Oatman.
Just to be transparent here.
How you doing, man?
Graf, how are you?
Good. We'll see you at the show tonight, eh? You're
anyway,
going?
I'm coming to the show tonight. I'm very excited. Mr. Levin, as a visual artist, it's really easy for me to trace, like, historical influences back, actually, millennia. And I'm wondering if, other than your classical training, are there any other influences on your music that might be sort of unexpected for us, like from the visual arts or art movements or just more ancient musics?
Wow, that's getting deep.
That's opening for you.
Well, sure. I think I don't think about the influences, so you probably don't either when you're doing your art, but they're there.
Right.
Certainly, I have occasionally copped some classical phrase and actually thrown it into a Peter Gabriel or a King Crimson piece, and in that case, I know that I'm doing it. But I think the I can say that the ethic of classical music has been with me through my rock career, and also somewhat the ethic of jazz. I love the way classical musicians really revere the best of the best music, and I try to carry that to my other fields. And in jazz, jazz players have the best ears and kind of hear everything the other players are playing, much more than in general in the rock field, and I try to carry that over. And visually, we could do a whole other program. I take photos a lot, and I love that nowadays I can process the photos the way I process
music-related stuff or just things out in the world in general.
I keep a web diary of the shows. I take pictures at every show, even King Crimson shows where we don't allow the audience to take pictures during the show, and so I don't take pictures during the show, but I am sure to take pictures of the audience after every show, and I put them up on TonyLevin.com. And anyway, what I was going to say is I process them the same way as I process my bass parts, because now you can compress and distort pictures, and like with the music, I try to get that picture, not to accurately depict what happened, but to go for my feeling about what happened. And so I love the way technology has helped my visual arts in that sense.
That's great. It sounds like there might be some sort of incredible audiovisual Levin project in the future.
If he has time.
I will put out some more photo books. I put out a couple, and I'm not sure about combining the audio and video, but maybe it's a good idea.
All right, Mike, you owe me a beer for this. I'll let you on the air, okay? I'll see you tonight. Our number here is 800-348-2551. Tony Levin is our guest, and we go over to Johnstown. And Sasha, you're on.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Good. Hi, Sasha.
Hi, thank you for having me. Mr. Levin, it's an honor. I just wanted to ask, for somebody as technically, you know, inclined and established as you are, did you find in 2017 that touring and performing is basically like the main medium for income?
For income? Well, yes, I guess it is for me.
Yeah, I mean, because for the accessibility, you know, like with, the internet and how music is just about.
Oh, yeah, okay. Anywhere. In general, for the field, I'm even though I'm immersed in the field, I'm really no expert. I think people are always finding different ways to do things that I would have never thought of. I thought you meant for me. For me, since I tour all year, that is my entire income.
Yeah.
But I think it's wonderful about music that things keep changing. And as usual, some people are pretty smart about figuring it out and capitalizing on it. And others of us are, like myself, are just interested in playing. Give me a chance to play and I'm in.
Sasha, thanks for the call. How many dates a year do you play in general?
I haven't added them up. This year there were 2 months, May and September, when I was home.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, very good.
Gives you time to recharge a bit?
Yeah, sure. More than that. It's wonderful.
But then you do projects while you're home.
Not projects, but some recording out of my home studio, for sure. Yeah.
Our number here is 800-348-2551. Tony Levin is our guest. King Crimson tonight at the Egg in Albany. And over to Rhinebeck and Jimmy. Jimmy, you're on.
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, Tony.
Hi, Jimmy.
I wanted to ask you about your classical influence, but you already talked about that. Did you ever get to jam or do any recordings with the late, great Alan Holdsworth? And I love Liquid Tension.
Thank you. I love Liquid Tension also, and I love Alan Holdsworth, and I got to do more than jam with him. I did a series of shows in Japan of complete improv. In other words, we didn't have one note planned, and we didn't pick one chord or anything through it, and that was with Pat Mastelotto, drummer, and Terry Bozzio, drummer. The four of us, very interesting, with two drummers and Alan and myself on bass. And it was so good that we then did a tour of the U.S. with that same lineup, and that was so good that we did a tour of Europe. So I got a wonderful opportunity to play a lot with Alan, an extraordinary musician.
Jimmy, the connection is terrible, so we'll leave it there, but thank you for the call. 800-348-2551, the number, if you want to talk to Tony Levin. You mentioned two drummers with Holdsworth, and Bozzio being one of them. You got three now with Crimson.
Those who haven't followed it, has three drummers, and we place them at the front of the stage, so it's really the show that the audience sees, and the other five of us are on risers behind them. It's pretty special.
It's brilliant, and when you were here just prior to the tour in 2014, I was skeptical about three drummers.
Well, me too.
But it really, they work together in such a fashion, and it's pretty brilliant as far as the showmanship, because you have the most kinetic part of the band out front, and it's fun to watch.
Well, it's very King Crimson in that it's not the usual way of doing things, and again, it's Robert's idea, and he picked the right drummers to do that, and these three drummers are not ever pounding out the same part. They have elaborate strategies, many within each song, for how to divide up the already complex rhythms that we do. It's fascinating. I'm standing behind them, and I'm watching them every night, so I can appreciate how special it is.
Let's go over to Dale in Dutchess County. Dale, you're on.
Hey, hi, Tony. You're great.
Hi, Dale.
How's it going?
Very good.
I just started playing bass. I'm older guy, 54. I play by ear.
Oh, you're a younger guy, huh?
yeah, but compared to you, bro. And you're in good shape. Is that going to hinder me maybe playing with a band?
Is what going to hinder you?
Just playing bass by ear.
Well, playing bass is not going to hinder you if you're the bass player in the band. It's going to be exactly the right thing. Oh, playing by ear instead of reading music, you mean?
Right, right.
Oh, not at all. I can read music, but I'm a little unusual in the rock field. A lot of people, at least half of the musicians I know, learn by ear, and it's fine. I think I can't predict how your career will go, but I hope that you have a lot of fun, and I think as long as you try to make good music and be musical on the bass and play parts that work for the music you're playing, you're going to do great, and people will like playing with you.
Dale, thank you for the call. 800-348-2551. Stan in Amsterdam. Stan, you're on with Tony Levin.
Yes, Tony, I really enjoyed your show at the Van Dyke with the Stickmen and the earlier this year with your brother. Wonderful. I do have a question about how cool it was to play with John Lennon on Double Fantasy.
Thank you, Stan, and thanks for coming out to see Levin Brothers, a jazz band that I love playing with. How cool was it? It was super cool. It was wonderful. Just 2 weeks when we did the sessions that became Double Fantasy, and I think Milk and Honey, they made a second album out of it. There was to have been a world tour, but that was cut short by the tragedy of John's death. And it was very special. I got to say, at the time I was doing it, I did not take it for granted, but I wasn't jumping up and down and saying, oh, wow, this is the most special thing. However, in the many years since then, I've come to even more appreciate how lucky I was to be there, to be the bass player. I don't even know why they called me. There are 100 bass players who could have done a fine job on that record. So I was very lucky, and it was a very special experience. Each song we did, as John played it and played the guitar and sang this new song, I was just thrilled to be the guy that gets to make up the bass part.
Thank you, Stan. He had a reputation at times for being rather difficult to work with for some musicians. How was that for you?
Oh, he wasn't difficult at all. It was kind of, how should I put it? He was in a hurry to do the pieces. When he liked jamming and playing Buddy Holly pieces, and then suddenly he'd say, well, this is it, let's do it, this is the take, and you would know that that's the take. In fact, to the extent that I have a tape or some of that, of a live tape of the recording, and someone says, well, the guitar player is out in the bathroom, he's not here, and he said, he can overdub, that's it, 2, 3, 4, do it. So in that sense, it was on edge, but in a nice way, in a kind of New York way. When he greeted me, it was in a very New York, upfront, in-your-face way. He said, hi, they tell me you're good, just don't play too many notes. Those were his first words to me, and I was very comfortable with that. First of all, I smiled because I knew I don't play too many notes, and I predicted it would work out well, but I liked that he was just upfront and saying what was on his mind, and that I'm okay with that.
You know, I've heard that in some of the early days of King Crimson, Fripp was a bit controlling, not controlling, but, well, yeah, I guess dictatorial to some extent, and it rubs some musicians the wrong way. How is it?
I've heard that too, but I don't know that side of Robert, because when I joined in 81, it was very much an equal band. He was never that way since then.
It's pretty relaxed nowadays?
Well, yes, we relaxed in a sense. We have a lot of fun. We joke a great deal. Even musically, we joke around in the show. So it's relaxed in that sense, but the music is pretty darn serious, and there's a lot of it, and it's intense, and there's that pressure of if you mess up, it can mess up the whole band.
Yeah.
It can be hard to return to go and start over.
Tony Levin is our guest. Our number here on Vox Pop is 800-348-2551. King Crimson played at the Egg last night as part of their tour, and they'll be playing again this evening. Let's go to Michael in Kingston. Michael.
Hi. Hi, Tony.
Hi, Michael.
Thanks for taking my call, guys. I had a quick question about you being a long time touring musician and playing live around, being around loud noises for an extended period of time. How you view the practice of people who use hearing protection, if it's as common as it ought to be, because for me personally, I'm saying when I go to a show, I'll look around and see how off the percentage of people who have earplugs in, and I always have them on me because I already have a bit of hearing loss from going to a lot of shows. So yeah. I already sort of learned the hard way. I was wondering if you felt about the practice, if it's not as widespread, yeah, or if more people ought to practice it or not.
Sure. Well, first of all, it's good to hear from someone from Kingston. That's where I live. And so we're neighbors.
Yeah. Anyway.
Michael. And of course, you realize you're asking a musician who's lost a lot of his hearing through the years, like almost all the guys I know who are my age. And mm-hmm. I did protect my ears somewhat through the years, but I didn't start early enough, and I wish I had. So that's kind of a boring thing. That's everybody knows that. And my experience with guys like me, with Peter Gabriel Band, with King Crimson, with Stickmen, we all now use in-ear monitors, which potentially could do more ear damage, but we can keep them low if we want. But what it does that's really important is it lowers the level on stage, so we don't have a guitar amp going into our ears and the drums going into our ears. So we're more in control of that. I wish that technology had been around earlier, and I wish I had been a little smarter like everyone else. I was trying to just enjoy the music and late to come to protect my ears.
And in this business, too. I have a lot of hearing loss, too, but headphones on.
And you know what? In classical music, it happens, too. And piano tuners have a lot of hearing damage. We're old, man. Yeah, there's something about being young. You just do not believe when they tell you, well, your hearing will go and it won't come back. And let's all hope someday they cure that issue.
Well said. Tony Levin is our guest. We'll take a quick break here. 800-348-2551 is the telephone number. And Crimson Tonight, show 2 at the Egg. We'll be right back.
Support for WAMC comes from Vermont Coffee Company, offering slow-roasted organic coffee in the brown paper bag at local grocery stores. Vermont Coffee Company, coffee roasted for friends. The Henyon Bakery, Amherst, Massachusetts. Since 1993, offering hearth-baked whole grain breads, pastries, birthday, wedding, and special occasion cakes, as well as gluten-free offerings. HenyonBakery.com. Watercolors by Edith Shutesbury, Massachusetts. Edith Hunsberger, a painter in acrylic and watercolors, specializing in portrait paintings of people and pets from photographs. Edith-Hunsberger.artistwebsites.com. The Lake George Land Conservancy, Bolton Landing, New York. Working on land protection projects that safeguard the water quality of Lake George. Hiking maps, public events, and more at lglc.org. And from Careers in Transition, LLC, Albany, Dr. Tom Denham, providing individual career guidance, career testing, job strategies, interview preparation, LinkedIn lessons, resume and cover letter writing, careersintransitionllc.com.
Vox Pop on WAMC, 800-348-2551. We're very pleased to have Tony Levin with us today. Tony playing stick and bass and a little stand-up bass in King Crimson, which is now an 8-piece. Right?
Yeah. But by the way, I enjoyed hearing our piece Radical Action under those last announcements. That's an unusual juxtaposition. That was pretty great.
Maybe we'll talk to the boss and have that done all the time. And all the underwriters will leave very quickly.
That's right.
So you're 8 pieces now.
Yeah. Very different than it was a quartet when I joined it in the 80s. It was a sextet that we called the double trio in the 90s. There was some other stuff in the early 2000s that I wasn't even in that incarnation. And we started as 7 3 years ago, and now we are 8 players, and it's very interesting. King Crimson is always changing in that sense and always a challenge for us.
I'm trying to remember. The last time I saw them prior to this, it was 2008 at the Nokia. Were you at that show?
Yes.
You were at that show.
Yes.
You were back to a 4-piece then, weren't you?
No. We had 2 drummers, both Gavin Harrison, who's now in the band, and Pat Mastalotto.
Well, that's right. Bruford was gone by then.
Yes. So I think maybe where there were 7 of us or 6 of us. I'd have to have a quiet time and think back. But anyway, it's always changing. And that incarnation was barely an incarnation because we rehearsed older material and we toured with it, and that's it. We didn't write any new stuff. So even though that counts, this is much more a significant era in the history of the band.
Getting back to our earlier conversation about the subjective impressions of the audience, it seems to me that you are having, as a whole, the group is having more fun now than they were in 2008 at the Nokia when I saw you last, or prior to 2014.
Yeah, I don't really remember much about that tour, but we're having fun in a wearing suits and ties kind of way, and we are having fun, and it's really astute of you to notice that from the audience. You must have good seats, and that's great.
Now I had a lot of time on my hands to think about it. Let's go back to the phones. We'll go over to Adrian in New Paltz. Adrian, you're on.
Hey, how about the very first of the very first, the very first album with the Schizoid Man on the cover? What a great piece of artwork. I wonder if you had any historical notes on how that whole piece of artwork came about. I was in college back when that album came out, and we had artists that people actually paint that album cover on people's dorm room doors.
Wow. Well, Adrian, that's a great question, and thank you for it. But I wasn't in the band then, and you knew more about it than I do.
That's right.
So I'm not the guy to answer that. It's pretty iconic, though, isn't it?
Greg Lake, the famous bass player, Greg Lake of Emerson, Lake & Palmer, I believe he was in the original King Crimson band.
Yeah, again, I'm not an expert at the history of it, but I have learned a lot of Greg's great bass parts. As he was, of course, singing, and I can't do his singing, but I've learned the really iconic bass parts, and he's one of those super talented musicians who have been, there have been many in the band through the years, and I'm pleased to be the guy that's playing in it now.
When Robert Fripp said, here's a whole raft of old material that we're going to do, did you then go to the recordings?
It happened pretty much one song at a time. We rehearse a great deal through the year, usually in England, and we were the conscientious band. We put in a lot of weeks rehearsing, and before maybe a month or two before that, he'll not only suggest a song or two, but Jack Ojakix, the wonderful guitar player and singer in the band, will if necessary take the old tapes and make a mix for me with the bass up a little louder, so they make it very easy to do my homework. I do my homework. I do a lot of work on those.
He seems to be a perfect fit for this band because Agreed. He can do so many of the earlier incarnations of the group and do it justice.
Agreed. Yes, he's fantastic, and quietly in his way is totally a necessary cog in the band. We couldn't be what we are without him.
And his take on Indiscipline, which I thought was amazing. You had Baloo talk singing it back in the day, and this is something completely – it took me by surprise last night.
Well, I talk about my challenges in the band, but you can imagine being a new singer in the band and having the challenge of doing what the other singers did through the years and then having a very critical audience. I can remember when Adrian Baloo joined in 1981, and people were very critical – fans were very critical of him because he's not Greg Lake, he's not John Wetton.
Right.
Speaking for myself, I really like our fan base. They're quite particular, but they're also, like those of us in the band, they're very open for, they understand King Crimson is not necessarily going to give you what you thought you were going to get, and they're open for new experiences as we try to be in the band.
And they're also very well behaved. Fripp has them very well trained. Everybody is quiet, and they listen very well.
Yeah, well, those who haven't been to the shows wouldn't know this, but we have a really steadfast rule about no video, no photography, and some people break the rule, and we have to have a lot of security to try to quietly deal with it. But generally, the audience, like you said, really appreciates not having to see those other cell phones standing up.
Tony Levin is our guest. Back to the phones we go at 800-348-2551. Alan in Albany. Alan.
Hi there. My name's Alan, and Tony, I ran into you in 1988 at New World Bistro in Woodstock.
Wow, what a memory you have. 88.
Oh, yeah. My memory for dates is off the charts. My friends go, what the hell's wrong with you? But anyway, and I said to you, do you remember a gig that you guys played, the foursome, you, Bruford, Baloo, and Fripp, at this thing called the Hullabaloo in Rensselaer?
I do remember it because we don't usually... Well, we never play places like that. Yeah.
I wondered, because, I mean, in 88...
You weren't hallucinating. We were there.
Yeah. In 88, you remembered it. It really kind of blew my mind because it was a time, it was 6 years later, and you'd played 6,000 gigs since then.
Yeah.
Was it, how long did that quartet tour for in that particular incarnation?
When is it you said you saw us?
In 82.
Okay. So we formed in 81. And we toured through 84, and we did three albums, Discipline and Three of a Perfect Pair and Beat, and we toured with those. And then around, I'm not sure exactly, I don't have the memory you do for dates, but around 84 or 85, Robert sort of disbanded the band, and the band was on hiatus for a number of years until the 90s, when it was a different band.
Yeah. And let me ask you this also. I had a gig last night. I got a gig tonight. I am
good
sick,
for you.
I can't be there. It's the way it goes. But my question is Fripp still someone who just does never, ever looks at the audience? And then once a gig, he looks at the audience, does a little motion with his hand, the place goes ballistic. Does he still do that kind of shtick?
A, I'm no expert because I'm looking at the audience myself. I'm not watching Robert the way everyone else is. But B, I think he's, my sense is that he's happier and having more fun in this incarnation in the, of the band than he ever has, and that he's more friendly and well, Ray, you could tell us. You were in the audience.
I agree wholeheartedly with you. Having seen various versions, he seems pretty relaxed, and I hate to say it, but he seems like he's enjoying it.
Yeah. Well,
I saw him laugh in 2014 at the show. So that was a rarity.
Yeah. Well, Robert is happy, and I have to look over one of these nights and see what he looks like. I really am busy with other stuff on stage.
I think that helps with the music. There's a certain relaxation about the music, but there seems to be a certain expansiveness about parts of the music. And it just seemed to have a piece to it. It was nice.
Well, we also have a lot of tonal colors. When you think about it, there are potentially three keyboard players playing mellotrons in this band. I mean, one of them is Jeremy, the drummer who plays it, and Chris Gibson is playing keyboard, and Robert has one of the old mellotron sounds. And so we can reproduce a lot of tonal range that we couldn't do when it was just a guitar band. And of course, we have Mel Collins to take sax solos. So there's a lot that takes the pressure off one from time to time in the band.
It's a beautiful thing. You don't actually have to bring a mellotron around anymore.
That's a beast to carry, not to mention three mellotrons.
So sampling technology helps. Let's go to Phil in Ackard. Phil, you're on.
Yeah, hi.
Hi, Phil.
Great to talk to you, Tony. I enjoy your playing. I think I might have seen you years ago in Central Park. I think it was the Red Tour. I don't know if you were on that.
No, I wasn't.
I know Bill Bruford was playing drums.
Sure, that was John Wetton. I wasn't there, but that was John Wetton and a great band and a great incarnation, but I wasn't. At that time, I didn't even know about King Crimson.
Yeah, this is, well, going back years, it was a great show. Yeah. But I'm a drummer myself. I just wanted to ask you, since you've played with so many great musicians and great drummers, what's one thing that you look for yourself in if you have to hire a drummer?
That's a wonderful question. Thank you for that. I want to tell all drummers what I and most bass players and most musicians look for in a drummer is good time. Good time to keep to keep the rhythm solid and as a bonus, if he can make the rhythm feel good, that's great. He does not have to have a lot of technique. He does not have to play flashy fills. That stuff is for other drummers. But the rest of us in the band want the time to be solid. And when it's solid, it makes it a joy for the rest of us to play, especially for the bass player, to do his part. And when it's not solid, it makes it kind of hard work for the bass player to do his job.
And it would be great if the drummer showed up on time. In my experience.
I don't even care. He can be late.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a revelation.
But just keep good time.
All right, let's go over to Raphael in Kingston. You're on with Tony Levin.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I've been a big fan, and I saw you with Peter Gabriel and with King Crimson. Anyway, very inspiring. I have a question, and that is, how and what do you practice besides repertoire, and do you still use a metronome?
Good questions, Raphael, and thanks for calling. I'm going to think. I don't use a metronome, and I don't practice the repertoire much because all the things we're doing, I can play. They're under my fingers. But I'm always trying, practicing. I practice quite a bit, and I practice techniques, just technical things. Some of them are things that I want to get better in the show, but some of them are things that I'd like to do in the future, and I don't know how I will do them in the future, but some stuff actually for years I'll keep fiddling around with it, and then hopefully finally it'll come out on a record somewhere. That's certainly the case with these funk fingers, that the drumsticks I attach to my fingers, and I've been doing that a long, long time, and I still don't have too much technique on it, and I'm given the chance I can spend a few hours just practicing that at any time in a hotel room.
Well, thank you.
Sure. Good
Thanks,
luck.
Raphael. We appreciate the call. Tony Levin is our guest. 800-348-2551, the phone number, and King Crimson at the Egg again tonight. How many songs do you think right now in the current touring repertoire?
I don't know. I think the other night I counted that we did 24 in the show, so I would say we have at least 35 pieces.
Do you have, I noticed there's a music stand. Is that just for your set list, or do you have crib notes there?
Both.
Really?
The set list is the most important thing. I really, even during the piece, I have to look ahead and see what's next, because between pedal changes and instrument changes, there's a lot to prepare for.
Mm.
And there are some pieces that are quite similar to me, especially if you really want to get technical. Radical Action Part 1, Radical Action Part 2, and Radical Action Part 3 are similar, and I can get them mixed up, so I have little your expression is perfect, crib notes.
So what would you put on a crib note like that? It wouldn't be, you're not writing out lines, per se, are you?
These are a couple of years old now. When we started doing the piece, I indeed did write out just the whole piece. And then in rehearsals, I try to wean myself down to one page, and then wean myself down to just when it gets to the flying fingers of fate play in E and in B flat the second time and in D flat the third time. These are very complex pieces, and I try to make the appropriate notes that signal to my brain what I need to, the least I can signal to it to play the right notes.
Some of it seems so darn complicated from an audience standpoint.
Hey, it does to us too. Trust me.
I looked over at my son. My son is 15. I looked over at him last night during the very fast part of 21st Century Schizoid Man.
Yeah.
And his jaw was sort of dropped. And I'm thinking, how does everybody not clam on that?
I don't know about that, but what strikes me as really special and wonderful is that your 15-year-old son is experiencing the music that we work so hard on and the technical abilities that we put together with all that practicing. It's a nice feeling after all of those rehearsals, months of rehearsals, to think that there's someone young out there who's thinking, well, I never heard anything quite like this.
And that's a good evasive answer. Good for you. That was good. Tony Levin is our guest. Let's go to Sean and Saugerty. Sean, you're on.
Hey, guys. Hi, Tony.
Hi,
Thanks,
Sean.
Thanks for being on the radio today. How you doing, Ray?
Hey.
I have a question for you. What is your favorite bass that you own? I'm just wondering if you, and I'm sure you have several instruments, and just what do you have a go-to, or do you just use several different kinds depending on what kind of style you're playing?
I have quite a few, too many instruments, let's put it that way. My wife has mentioned that to me, and I'm very lucky through the years to have assembled a number of instruments that are special to me. The one that's special, most special now, of course, is the one that I'm playing now. That's the way life is. So I'm playing an 80s Music Man yellow bass that I painted yellow on the Three of a Perfect Pair tour. And I'm not playing it because it's 80s or vintage. I'm playing it because the sound of it, which is subtly different than my other basses, has turned out to be perfect for playing with these three drummers.
Cool. Could I follow that up with what is your preferred stage rig, like in a theater setting?
Sure. Well, that's always changing. Even within the Crimson tours, we toured last year with pretty much the same lineup, and my rig has changed completely through that. Right now I'm double amping the bass and trying to just there's no rule. I try to get the sound to work best for the music that I hear. With three drummers, there's a lot more, actually there's room for me to play busy, but there's a lot more low end than there was in the band before that.
Low end.
So I put aside my five string that has thundering lows, and I go for more of what I would I'm talking subtleties here, not extreme, but I'm going for more cutting mid-range. And I found that with two amps, I can kick in really a guitar amp sound on the second amp, and for that I use Kemper.
You do like an A-B kind of thing where you switch between amps, or is it like a stereo setup? Or?
Stereo, but I have the option of kicking in the second one or not.
All right, Sean, we'll have to leave it there. How's the acoustics at the Egg? How do they work for you guys?
Wonderful.
Yeah?
Wonderful. And always a pleasure to play two nights in a place the way we do. King Crimson tries to do that a lot, because the second night, the sound engineer, no matter how good he is, he's has that experience. You know, we do sound checks for hours, but it's completely different in any venue when the audience comes in than it is before that. So
I do notice that in the first set, I think things sound great, but by the second set, things sound sublime.
And always a consideration when any band that I'm in puts together a set list is to have the first piece or two pieces be relatively simple to give the front of house engineer a chance to know what he's working with.
Well, Tony Levin, after this Crimson tour, what's next for you?
I'll do one Levin Brothers gig in December. We finish at the end of November. I'll tour with Levin Brothers in January and go to Japan with them. Little Stickmen touring in February, and King Crimson later in the year.
Wow. Busy.
Hopefully. Can I interrupt?
Sure.
Busy is the new rich.
You got to love it. Now, if we want to find out more about Tony Levin, where do we go on the old web?
TonyLevin.com would be nice.
Well, this is great. And there'll be pictures of the Albany show at some
Absolutely.
Point?
Absolutely. I got here an hour earlier here to the wonderful station, and I was collating my pictures from last night, including trying to get the egg, the most extraordinary venue, to look like an egg. It's not easy. I've been all around it for 10 times, and it's a rare sight of it that
like
it actually
flying
looks like
flying saucer,
an
really, I
yeah,
think.
Yeah, many things. Well, I think Tony, I'm going to feature all the way it looks, all the ways it look.
Tony Levin, great job, and we'll see you tonight at the King Crimson show at the Egg. The support comes from the Albany Pinebush Preserve, presenting Night at the Discovery Center November 21st from 4 p.m. to 7 p.m., featuring interactive exhibits, games, moonlit walks, and storytelling, albanypinebush.org. Union College Concert Series, presenting pianist Paul Lewis after his summer appearances at Tanglewood, performing works of Haydn, Beethoven, and Brahms, Sunday, November 12th, 3 p.m., unioncollegeconcerts.org. Quality Foreign Car Care, Ballston Spa, New York, specializing in European car sales and service for over 20 years, QFCC.com. And the Tang Teaching Museum and Art Gallery at Skidmore College, providing exhibits, public events, and educational programs for audiences in the Capital District and beyond, skidmore.edu/Tang. Thanks again to Tony Levin for joining us today. Thanks to you for the great calls and the emails. Zachary Malloy is our engineer. Thanks to Deb Malik for answering the phones. Our producer is Jim the Hammer Lavoulis. I'm Ray Graff. Tomorrow on Food Friday, the good folks from Rolling Rock Farm in Sheffield, Massachusetts return. See you at the show tonight. Stand by for news.